time goes faster as you get older kind of thing. And, you know, I'm learning that more and more every day. And so for those of you who are a little bit ahead of me, I can sort of understand what you're feeling when it comes to that, but y'all are still ahead of me, so. But, yes, sir. You guarantee it, huh? All right. How fast does it go now, Bill? Zoom, just like that. All right. Bill ought to know. But, I don't know, it does seem like it goes a lot faster, but it's really good to see everybody here tonight. And I'm glad that y'all have chosen to come out and be part of our Wednesday night Bible study together. And hopefully you will find that this time will be profitable to you, and that you will gain something from it that will benefit you in your daily walk with Christ. Before we really get into our lesson, I would like for us to as is our habit, to take just a minute to, as a group here, to go to our God in prayer. Are there those that have not been mentioned yet tonight that we do need to be remembering in our prayers? I do know we need to remember Thelma Pendergrass. How's she doing, Bill? Better? Okay. Okay, Thelma is ready for visitors again. If you are interested in going out to see her, so I know she would appreciate that. Yeah, Bill. Makisha Davis will be having her, I believe it's gallbladder surgery tomorrow, bright and early in the morning. So I know that the Davis family would very much appreciate you remembering them in your prayers. Anybody else? Okay, Cheryl Lowe's granddaughter that had the, is it knee surgery? Okay, and that is her name, Cassidy? Okay, Cheryl Lowe's granddaughter, Cassidy. Pray for the doctors? Okay, all right. Well, maybe we better pray for Kenna, is who we should pray for, you know. But, okay. Ron is going to be having a cataract surgery tomorrow.
Bill's going to drive him over.
Ah, perfect, yeah. hopefully you guys will stay out of the ditch, but, all right. Anybody else? Brent Looney, okay.
Got an extension or a delay, so the hearing got moved later, it still has to happen.
Okay, so in case you couldn't hear the court proceedings that Brent Looney has been asking us to pray about have been delayed. They've been put off for some period of time. So, continue to pray for that situation. Obviously, there's still time for God to work in that situation. So we need to continue to petition him on Brent's behalf. Is there anybody else? Yeah, Jim. If you couldn't hear, Brother Jim was just reminding us that we need to continue to keep Travis and his family in our prayers. And I know, I'm certain that everybody in this room has had them on your mind for the last several days, and I know that will continue to be the case for many days to come. But I'm going to ask Brother Dennis if he would please to lead us in a word of prayer. Let's bow together.
Our loving Father, we're always pleased to be in the assembly of your people, and especially on these cold Wednesday nights, as we are experiencing it this evening, to come and surround our teacher and to listen attentively to the things that he will present to us. We know that what we are doing in that regard is we're feeding, as it were, upon your word, which gives us strength and helps us in all circumstances of life, however small or however large they are. If and when we cast all of our burdens upon him, we know that he cares for us and that he will be there for us in that regard. We pray especially now for all those that were mentioned, and of course, Heavenly Father, being somewhat older, I can't recall all of those, but we know you punch the pegs, as it were, as each one of them voiced their request for prayer. We are great believers in prayer, and we have many reasons to pray. And even tonight, as we're looking at what we will be studying later on, the idea of forgiveness, not only are we to forgive each other, but we are to forgive those who are so-called enemies. And we know that your Son asks us to pray even for our enemies. In that regard, the world seems to have an abundance of those people, and yet at the same time, we need to remember them in prayer. Be with Scott tonight as he directs our thoughts, that we may have something to take with us, especially in regard, as I mentioned, to the subject of forgiveness. We know, Father, that you are kind and just and willing to forgive us, but we need to forgive others who transgress against us. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis, for leading us in prayer. All right, we're going to continue in the study that we started a couple of weeks ago on the subject of forgiveness. And it's a time for a pop quiz. And I know y'all remember pop quizzes, and so. We talked a couple of weeks ago, I sort of gave you kind of a definition of forgiveness. And I wanted this to just sort of refresh our memories before we go into what we're going to be talking about tonight on exactly what forgiveness is. Anybody remember what we said forgiveness, how we defined forgiveness? I know how Bill feels. Okay.
do it many more times.
Do it many more times. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll help you. I'm going to give you all some help here, maybe. There we go. Forgiveness is treating with mercy one who deserves anger. That is in the simplest terms that I can think of to define what forgiveness is. That's the simplest way I could think of to say it. And we have spent a lot of time, we've spent some time looking through the Old Testament, the words that are used for forgiveness, and we started talking, last week, we got to really what we said was in the Old Testament is really the first time where forgiveness is really, where it really comes up for the first time in the Old Testament. You guys remember where we said that occurred at? I'm sorry? In the Old Testament, yeah. Where did it occur first? No? What? Yeah. Okay, it was in Exodus. Where was it at? It was Moses. Yeah. And we have And Moses is up on Mount Sinai. And, okay, you guys, okay, I think hopefully the wheels are starting to turn now. I'm like, man, it's like just, okay, there we go. While Moses is getting the law from God, the children of Israel, under the leadership of Aaron, are doing what? Okay, they made a golden calf. And that event is really the first time in the Old Testament where you really see the forgiveness in action. And so, you know, that is a pivotal time in God's relationship to mankind because of what happened there and because of what was occurring there. God was giving Moses, was giving him the Ten Commandments along with numerous other laws. Now, we said that the Ten Commandments really were God's guidelines for how the Israelites were supposed to act in their relationship with Him. And so, while God is giving Moses these, giving him the Ten Commandments, the people that he wants to have a relationship with are, essentially, they're having a relationship with another god, with a false god, with a dead and lifeless god, with a god that had nothing to do with getting them to where they were at that point in their lives. And so, in spite of Israel's sin, God still desires communion and fellowship with them. And because of that desire, He institutes a sacrificial system to accomplish this. Now, don't panic. We're not going to read the entire book of Leviticus tonight. But when you read through the book of Leviticus, that is really what you are reading. Is you are reading, again, God's guidelines for what is supposed to happen for the children of Israel to stay in communion and fellowship with Him. That is what is required of the people. Now, the book of Leviticus details what is necessary for God to dwell among them because of their sinful nature. God institutes a sacrificial system. In the first part of the book, in chapters 1 through 7 of Leviticus, He gives His laws on purity. He says, this is how I want you to live your life. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. Why does He want them to be holy? Because He is holy. Then in chapters 11 through, and I'm sorry, in chapters 1 through 7, He gives the sacrificial system. In 11 through 15 are the laws on purity. And then in chapters 8 through 11, He also installs a priesthood to perform the necessary sacrifices, distinguish between the holy and profane, and the clean and the unclean, and to teach God's statutes. In the book of Leviticus, we also have the key event which made it possible for God to visit and live with the Israelites. Anybody have a guess as to what that event might be? In Leviticus chapter 16, it's known as the Day of Atonement. That is the key event. Now, before we talk about the Day of Atonement, I have a question for you. What is atonement? If you have a Day of Atonement, what is atonement? It's okay. Dennis says it's the erasing of our sins. And Gail, what were you going to say? Okay. It is what has to be done for God to accept us. Come on, remote. There we go. Well, it results in forgiveness, okay? But atonement, guys, is the process God established whereby humans could make an offering to Him to restore fellowship with Him. Now, some important things to note about the Day of Atonement. First of all, it was not a man-made event. It was established by God. It's not something that man created, but it was established by God. It was not something that man was able to initiate. God says, this is what you will do. Now, the fellowship with God in this definition is another, you can think another way of saying that would be is a relationship with God. And so atonement, the Day of Atonement, was what made forgiveness possible. Without the Day of Atonement, forgiveness would not be possible. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to Leviticus chapter 16. In Leviticus chapter 16, we have described in detail what is supposed to occur on the Day of Atonement. And it's interesting because the very first verse of Leviticus chapter 16 says that the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they drew near before the Lord and died. So, God is telling Moses this shortly after the sons of Aaron, otherwise known as Nadab and Abihu, had died. What? How did they die? What was the cause of their death? Maybe. Okay, they touched the Ark of the Covenant. They offered worship to God. That's right. They offered strange fire to God. They offered worship to God, which God had not authorized. And so here then, that has just occurred. That is right in the background. When we get then to Leviticus chapter 16, and God says, this is what I want you to do for the Day of Atonement. So that event had to have been fresh in people's minds as these instructions in Leviticus chapter 16 are given. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 2, He says, tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark so that he may not die. for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have the linen undergarment on his body. And he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the 2 goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and 2 handfuls of sweet incense beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. All right. Very, very descriptive. Very prescriptive. God says, this is what I want him to do. Now, the sacrifices for the Day of Atonement were to be offered in the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, or another name for it would be the most holy place. And that place was inside the inner veil of the tabernacle. I don't know. I have a... There we go. It's kind of hard to see. It's a little small. But nevertheless, this is kind of a picture of what the tabernacle would have looked like. And the tabernacle, of course, was the first temple that was dedicated to God, and it was the first resting place of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the tabernacle, it not only showed the people that God was among them, but it also showed the distance that existed between God and his people. The layout of, when you read about the layout of the Israelite camp in the book of Numbers, you'll see all of this take place. See, God was present in the most holy place, which is, would be there, in that area there. God was present in the most holy place. Beyond this were the holy place, the courtyard, the encampment of the Levites, the camp of Israel, the area of uncleanness, and the wilderness, respectively. There were degrees of access, if you will, to God. But God was still in their midst. You know, because the only person who could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. And he only did that one time a year. And yet, God is present. The tabernacle is part of the Israelite encampment wherever they traveled through the wilderness. Can you imagine what it must have been like living in that camp, knowing that God was present right there? I think it would have been a very, I find that to be a very awe-inspiring thought. But there's also a part of me who finds that to be somewhat intimidating as well, somewhat fearful. But in reality, the reality of it is where is God right now? As Dennis said, he's not very far from us, is he? So, you know, shouldn't really make that much difference, because he is right here, right now. Now, the tabernacle, it was used for worship and sacrifice during the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Now, you have... Oh, really? Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to go through, I'm not going to describe every single part of the tabernacle, but you guys, hopefully you can see it well enough to see that the structure of it, and you can see it was a very organized structure as well. God was very particular about how this was supposed to be set up. And there were only certain people who could set it up. All right, there's a kind of a close-up. This would be the Holy of Holies. This is the Ark of the Covenant, number 2 right there. That would be the Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat is on top of it. And God would have been right above it. Now, as we saw in reading in Leviticus chapter 16, the high priest, there were special garments that he wore. And one of the interesting things was, is before he could put those special garments on, he had to bathe. There may be some foreshadowing there that in order for him to enter into the presence of God, one of the things that he had to do was bathe before he could put on what really were the garments that he wore on the Day of Atonement were very humble in comparison to the clothing that the high priest would wear the rest of the year. Because his regular garments were turban, were made of fine linen with gold, and there were precious stones on the breastplate that he wore, and you know, it was a very elaborate outfit that the high priest would have worn, except for on this one day. And on this one day, when he's coming into the presence of God, he is wearing the most humble clothing that he could. When we approach God, I think there's a lesson in that when we are approaching God, we approach in humility. And, you know, and that's and I think that's a very important thing for us to understand. You know, the regular garments that he wore emphasized his position as a mediator between God and man. But on the Day of Atonement, the garments that he wore symbolized that he was a humble servant. He was approaching God in humility. Now the sacrifices, there was a bull, two rams, and two goats. I want to talk about specifically about the goats very quickly. The goats, of course, there were two goats that were selected. They were brought before God. Lots were cast. God would choose the goat that he wanted offered as a sacrifice. The other goat then became what we might call today the scapegoat. And that the goat that God chose was sacrificed, and the goat that was not chosen was made the scapegoat. And that scapegoat would be sent off into the wilderness. Now, which had the sins of the people. That's right, the sins of the people were put on that goat, and they were taken out of the camp and sent off into the wilderness. And at that point, the relationship of the children of Israel to God would be restored. There was, and that would make it possible, once all of these things occurred, God could forgive the children of Israel. A very complicated process, don't you think? I think it is. And so, and the reason I wanted to bring all this to talk about this is because then, and Bill touched on this briefly Sunday morning in his lesson, is that the covenant that we as Christians today is much, much superior to the covenant that the children of Israel had to live under. And the means by which we obtain forgiveness today is, that's what we're going to talk about more next week. We're going to move into the New Testament. But we could spend a whole other class period talking about the scapegoat and Azazel. But as I understand it, I think I only have maybe one more week. So I've got longer if I want, Bill says. But yeah, Bill. What day was the...
Wasn't the day that Jesus died?
Well, that was the Passover. Okay, the Day of Atonement is a different day. It's also known in the Jewish calendar as Yom Kippur. Seventh month and the 10th day. Yes, seventh month and 10th day. Leviticus 16 and 29. I would love to continue the discussion about this, but we have been whistle-bit twice. So we're going to have to draw this to a close for tonight. Guys, I really appreciate y'all's attention, and I hope you're getting something from this that will make your walk with Christ each day a little bit better. Thank you very much for your attention. Everybody have a safe rest of the week, and we will see you Sunday morning, if not before then. Thank you.